So the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah that someone is temporarily insane and it's the night of Pesach. So let's assume for our purposes during 8 to 9 he's temporarily insane, 9 to 10 he's sane, and he ate the matzah during the hours of 8 and 9. And now he wakes up from his insanity and he becomes sane, and now he wants to know, do I have to eat another piece of matzah? Did I eat a piece of matzah? Whatever the case may be. So the Gemara says, yes, that one must eat another piece of matzah. So we see from this Gemara, apparently, that someone who does a mitzvah during the state of exemption and then later on becomes obligated must do the mitzvah again. The act he did while insane, while he was a shota, while he was pater from mitzvahs, exempt from commandments, he has to do over again. That's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. On the other hand, we have a Gemara in Yevamos that says two Gentiles who convert and they have children, obviously Gentile children, and they have the mitzvah pruravu is to minimally have a boy and a girl. So let's say they had a boy and a girl while they were a Gentile, or two boys and two girls, it doesn't make a difference. And now they convert, they become Jewish. So the question they ask to the rabbi is, do I have to have more kids? Do the kids that I had as a Gentile, do they count for the mitzvah of pruravu or not? So that's a dispute in the Talmud between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan says they do count. Reish Lakish says, no, they don't count, because even though biologically they're your kids, but we have a principle, Gershon is Gaia, Kakatan Shinoa Dummy. When someone converts to Judaism, they're like a newborn baby. So, legally speaking, you have no connection. So, they're not, halachically, they're not your kids, even though biologically they are. And one, if possible, if they're still young enough, then they should try to have more kids as well. So, we pass in like Rav Yochanan that you do fulfill your mitzvah. There's a, within Rav Yochanan, there's a detailed dispute whether the kids themselves have to convert, but we're not going to get into that. But what do we see according to Rav Yochanan? Even though a non-Jew is exempt from the commandment of pruravu, and now when he becomes Jewish, he becomes obligated. Even though he had his kids during the state of exemption, nevertheless they count for his mitzvah pruravu. So we have an apparent contradiction. But the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, it shows you do a mitzvah in the state of exemption, you later become obligated, you have to do it over again, it doesn't count. I mean, the Gemara in Yevamos, we see you do a mitzvah in the state of exemption, you become chayev later, it does count. So how do we deal with it? So there's a famous Minchas Chinuch in Siman Aleph on the first mitzvah of Pru Revu. So how the Minchas Chinuch will deal with it, we're going to make a distinction between the mitzvah Pru Revu versus the mitzvah of achilas matzah, versus the mitzvah of eating matzah. So he says as follows. Let's say, we all know, we're familiar with the principle, someone steals the four species, someone steals the lulav and esrog, someone steals matzah, someone steals an object for the mitzvah, and then they do it. Not only do they not fulfill the mitzvah, but they violated geneva. In other words, the principle of mitzvah, haba b'aveira, mitzvah done through the means of a sin is a no-go. So crime doesn't pay. Not only don't you get the mitzvah, but you'll have to give an accounting for your act of stealing. So however, the Ramah quotes are from a Yerushalmi. What happens if one commits adultery and has a boy and a girl? Let's say you have a girl from your own wife, and your adultery, you have a boy, whatever this hypothetical you want to make up. After this act of adultery, you had another child, and that took you over, that gave you the mitzvah pruravu. So one would say, well, of course, mitzvah haba b'aveira, you're not going to get the mitzvah pruravu. Yet, the Yerushalmi brings down, and the Ramah seems to paskin like this, that one fulfills the mitzvah pruravu, not... By no means is anyone condoning the act of adultery or illicit relations. We're just talking about post facto, legally, that person is considered your child. Legally, you are the father. And therefore, technically, from a pure technical point, you fulfill Peruvu. The question is, why don't we apply the principle of mitzvah b'aveira? If he got the kids through adultery, why do we say, just like we say, eating the matzo or shaking the lulav isn't good, so too, committing adultery should make the mitzvah peruvu not valid either. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch points out and says, well, it all depends. The issue is, on what is the nature of the mitzvah peruvu? In other words, is the mitzvah the maisa bia? Is it the act of living together, the actual sexual intercourse? Is that the mitzvah peruvu? Or no?
Produce a living offspring.
Or is the mitzvah result-oriented? 9 months later, or whenever it's going to be, you have a child, that's when you fulfill the mitzvah.
Who survives.
So. Correct. As the Gemara in Yavama says, it's not enough to have a kid, he has to outlive you also. Because if you have a kid, in fact, that's one of the proofs of the Minchas Chinuch. How do I know it's result-oriented? Because if your kid dies before you do, you're obligated to have another kid. So we see it's result-oriented. That's how he discusses the question. Let's say someone steals a box of matzah. Let's say it's the night of Pesach. You steal a box of shmurah matzah. Let's say you can't afford it. You can't even afford looking at it. And you steal the box of matzah. So the lach is it's a no-go. You eat the matzah. Mitzvah ba bavera. You do not fulfill any mitzvah. Yet, what happens if you end up in Niagara on the lake for Pesach? This, I don't know who would be there, but hypothetically. And let's say, hypothetically, there's a kosher hotel. They have kosher food in the Queen's Landing. Let's assume for some reason you're not in the Queen's Landing. You happen to be staying in the POW, the Prince of Wales. And it's not a long walk, but it's a walk and there's no Erev. So let's say someone carries the box of matzah from the POW to the Queen's Landing, and they eat that matzah for the night of Pesach. Do they get the mitzvah? So the answer is yes, even though they might have desecrated the Shabbos by carrying, but they still get the mitzvah matzah. And the question is, what's the distinction? How come if I steal a box of matzah and use it, it's a no-go? But if I machal Shabbos and then eat the box of matzah, I'm okay. I'm not okay for being machal Shabbos. I'm okay that I get the mitzvah matzah. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch says. The principle of mitzvah haba b'aveira, the principle of doing a mitzvah through the means of an aveira, when do we apply the principle? That's only if at the time I'm doing the mitzvah, I'm also involved in the aveira. In other words, let's say stealing the matzah. So I did the act of stealing maybe 2 hours ago, but right now, we have a mitzvah of a heshiv as hagazela. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to return the stolen object. So as I'm eating the matzah is screaming, don't eat me. I don't belong to you. Return me to my rightful owner. So at the moment you're eating the matzah, you're involved in the avera of a heshiv as hagazela, of returning the lost object. So therefore we apply the principle of mitzvah b'av avera, because at the time you're eating the matzah, you're involved in the avera. Masha Einkein, however, when it comes to someone who carried the box of matzahs and the POW to the Queen's Landing, there's nothing to do with one another. The person desecrated the Shabbos, he shouldn't have, but that aveira is over with. There's no mitzvah on the matzah that they can't be carried. The matzah has no Isser of Chilul Shabbos on it. There's no connection to the chefza, to the object. So the aveira is, I did the aveira at 7:30, 8:30, wherever I did it. And now at 10 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night, I'm eating the matzah, so we don't apply the principle of mitzvah b'aveira, because at the time I'm doing the mitzvah, I am totally okay. That's the principle. Comes along the Minchas Chinuch, and that's how we can reconcile our two Gemaras we have here. We said, but the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah with matzah, if you do a mitzvah in the state of exemption and later on you become obligated, it's a no-go. You have to eat another piece of matzah. But by the Gentiles who convert, provably they do get the mitzvah. Which one is it? If I do a mitzvah in the state of exemption, am I exempt or do I have to do it over again? So it depends. It says, what's the distinction? When it comes to the mitzvah of matzah, what's the mitzvah? It's the maisa mitzvah. Some mitzvahs are acted oriented, a maisa, that the act is what the Torah requires of us. And other mitzvahs, the Torah is concerned with the totsa, the result. So when it comes to matzah, which is a mitzvah, which is all about, it's not that I have matzah in my stomach, no one cares anymore. I mean, you might care, you might be sick for a couple of hours after, but that's a separate issue. But in terms of the halacha, while you're chewing and swallowing the matzah, that's the ma'isa mitzvah. So therefore, if you did that during the time when you're exempt, the time of insanity, so then it's meaningless, because when you wake up 9 o'clock, you have nothing to show for the mitzvah except the stomach ache. Hence, you have to eat another piece of matzah. Masha Inke, when it comes to the mitzvah pru revu, the mitzvah is the result. So therefore, at the time I did the mitzvah, there's no problem. When I have the kids 9 months later, the fact I committed adultery now, I'll have to do tshuva on adultery, but it doesn't affect having the kids. So based on this minchas chinuch, if we want to apply it to Svira Tzaomir, in our case, a child who counts Svira while he's a minor, in the middle of Svira Tzaomir, he becomes bar mitzvah. And let's assume again, we assume it's 49 separate mitzvahs, we assume it's one big mitzvah, and we assume he has been counting up until now. So does the counting he did as a katan count for later on? So the issue would be is, and we'll have to continue on this note, is if the mitzvah of counting is like matzah, it's the act of counting, so then it should be a no-go. However, if it's result-oriented, I'm counting because I want to know the days of Shavuos, or I'm counting up to Kabbalah HaTorah, then one can discuss whether it's good. We'll have to continue this on Thursday morning. You follow?
I got it.